In the day's other news, worldwide COVID-19 infections have topped 20 million after cases doubled over the past 45 days. Meanwhile, Russia claimed victory today in becoming the first country to approve a vaccine. But with only 2 months of human testing and no large-scale trials yet, global health experts sounded alarms. Still, President Vladimir Putin insisted it was safe for use.
I know it has proven efficient and forms a stable immunity, and I would like to repeat that it has passed all the necessary tests. One of my daughters has been vaccinated. In this sense, she has taken part in the experiment. She's feeling well and has a high number of antibodies.
Meanwhile, the U.S. recorded fewer than 50,000 new cases for the second day in a row. Two major college athletic conferences have announced that they are pulling the plug on football and other fall sports amid the pandemic. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 said that they will postpone at least some of those sports until the spring to avoid potential health risks to student athletes. The decision takes two of college football's five power conferences out of an already uncertain season. Hundreds of thousands of people across the Midwest are still without electricity today after a powerful storm ravaged the region. Winds of 100 miles an hour downed trees from Nebraska to Indiana yesterday. In Iowa, the governor said at least 10 million acres of crops were damaged.
It will be a number of days before we know the full impact of yesterday's storms, but one thing is for certain. Many of our neighbors have had their lives drastically impacted, whether it's through injury or damage to their livelihoods.
The windstorm is responsible for at least two deaths, one in Indiana and another in Iowa. In Belarus, more than 2,000 people have been detained in violent anti-government protests over Sunday's disputed election. Amid the crackdown, the top opposition candidate said today that she had fled the country, and she urged her supporters to stop the unrest. Nick Schifrin has our story.
On the streets of the capital, Minsk, a national uprising after what demonstrators call a stolen election. In response, authorities arrested thousands and shot this protester in the back.
How much longer will we tolerate this mess? I just don't understand at all.
President Alexander Lukashenko says he won more than 80% of Sunday's vote. No international monitor agrees. But overnight, opposition candidate Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya fled to Lithuania and from the Election Commission's offices recorded this video.
I ask you not to confront the police, not to go to the square.
Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya did not leave by her own free will. She was forced to leave.
Jörg Forbig is the German Marshall Fund's director for Central and Eastern Europe. He says the protests will continue, even without an opposition leader, because they're born of Lukashenko's authoritarianism, years of stifling dissent, arbitrary arrests, and manipulated elections.
Belarusians by now are taking to the streets not because they are following Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya. They're defending their right to determine the leadership of their country, which was taken away from them clearly on Sunday.
Today, the European Union blamed Lukashenko's government for the unrest.
The incredible harassment and repression against the candidates, the brutal violence is unacceptable.
Tsikhanouskaya's forced departure led to a second emotionally raw video.
I thought this whole campaign toughened me a lot and gave me so much strength that I can endure anything. But perhaps I'm still a weak woman. Please, please be careful. No life is a worthwhile price for what is happening now.
Lukashenko seems to be willing to exact any price and accuse protesters of violence.
The police were deliberately hit, so they responded. Why are you crying now? The response will be adequate. We will not allow you to tear the country apart.
If protests continue, if there's even more strikes in companies than we have seen already today, then basically the last resort for Alexander Lukashenko is some form of state of emergency or even martial law.
Lukashenko is fighting for his survival. There's no telling how far he's willing to go. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.
The State Department's internal watchdog has determined that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo acted legally in bypassing Congress to approve massive arms sales to Arab nations. Pompeo declared an emergency last year to push some $8 billion to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan, citing threats from Iran. The findings come after former Inspector General Steve Linnick testified that State Department officials pressured him to drop the investigation. President Trump fired Linnick in May. Seattle's police chief is retiring. Carmen Best made the announcement last night after the city council agreed to slash the police force budget and eliminate about 100 jobs. The cuts were largely supported by anti-racism demonstrators in Seattle. Today, the city's first black police chief said that the council's actions undermine progress made at the department.
It really is about the overarching lack of respect for the officers, the men and women who work so hard day in and day out. And honestly, the idea of letting, after we worked so incredibly hard to make sure that our department was diverse, that reflects the community that we serve, to just turn that all on a dime and hack it off without having a plan in place to move forward, it's highly distressful for me.
Chief Best's retirement will go into effect next month. A federal appeals court in Washington today seemed inclined to block former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's effort to immediately dismiss the criminal case against him. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI during the special counsel's Russia investigation. The Justice Department requested the case be dismissed after determining that the FBI did not have a valid reason to question him in the first place. Primary and runoff elections were held today in five states: Minnesota, Connecticut, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Georgia. Minnesota progressive candidate Ilhan Omar is fighting for the first time to keep her congressional seat. While in Georgia, one Republican runoff pits far-right QAnon conspiracy theorist Marjorie Taylor Greene against neurosurgeon John Cowan. And stocks tumbled on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 104 points to close at 27,687. The Nasdaq fell 185 points, and the S&P 500 slipped 27. Still to come on the NewsHour, Lebanon grapples with multiple crises in the wake of last week's cataclysmic explosion, plus much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.